Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Well, when they hit their quarterback 12 times, I don't like that. I don't like that stat at all. It's not a healthy way to play or a healthy way to keep our quarterback healthy through the remainder of the season.
Back to pass. Allen has time. Now steps up in the pocket. Pressure coming, and he's sacked from behind. Absolutely drilled. And he is in pain. Rolling left, looking for somebody downfield. Doubles back to his right, still on his feet, in the clutches, and he's dropped for a major loss on the sack.
Yeah, it's not fun. I ran into a couple myself. I got to be better with throwing the ball away and living to see another down. And too many times I was going backwards.
Back to pass, pocket collapsing. Allen in trouble, and he's tripped up and dropped for another sack. This one by Daniil Hunter. Steps up in the pocket, pocket collapsing, and he's wrapped up, and he's going down for another sack. Way back at his 35-yard line.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Wow, sounds like a game I was smart to have not bothered to watch by these sound bites. Boy, did I make a good decision skipping that one? I did not skip that one. I watched even to the handshakes. I even watched the Amazon panel show last night. They were about to go to a guest is when I left. I don't need a guest. But I stayed through the end of the game. We'll turn it over to you here. We've got a shorter day for calls and analysis with the Sabres playing tonight. We'll have pregame with Paul coming up at 6 in less than an hour. Sam Panayotovich will join us at 5:30 to preview the rest of Week 12. It is relevant, some of it, to the Bills in the standings.
I was out of the room. I just want to make sure. Did Zach run down all the injury stuff that McDermott updated today? Okay, I don't need to repeat it all then. Okay, I won't. But that all doesn't sound great. Brown, they're still evaluating, but that sounds like it could be a little bit there. Bernard, week to week. Harrison's still in the concussion protocol. Tough. Brown would be the one there to me.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be really worried about him being out.
It's not the best team to play next.
No, that's
Pittsburgh.
Right. That's right.
In Pittsburgh. Part of the problem last night was being on the road for them.
Right.
I think that might be a team that's way different at home, just with noise and timing. And the Steelers will have that advantage against the Bills. Not that the Bills didn't have tons of fans there last night. You could hear it. And probably will have plenty in Pittsburgh, too. Let's go to Sean next. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. I think it's pretty clear that this roster is really lacking right now. But at the end of the day, I think Bean messed up big time at the trade deadline. I know he tried to go for Waddle, but, I mean, this receiving core is just absolutely depleted. I think it's probably the worst it's been since 2018. I mean, we got a running back now. If you look back at 2021, I think we had our best receiving core in the Josh Allen era. And at this point, I mean, we just need receivers, and Bean didn't do his job. So that's about it.
Okay.
I think that's absolutely right.
Can't do much about it now.
Nothing
but
to be done about it.
Maybe something comes up that helps you. But that's what Davis and Mecole Hardman were sort of meant to be, right? Coleman's on the bench. Coleman's healthy. And important games, he doesn't get to play. That might change. You think that changes now?
It could change. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say I'd be surprised if it doesn't change, because I think he's earned his spot on the sideline right now with how he's played. Mostly, I'm not even that he could have been on time for everything, bringing donuts for everybody, for all I care, to meetings. He can be the Tom Coughlin 7 minutes early or whatever the heck that arbitrary nonsense he had when he was the Giants coach or the Jaguars coach, whatever.
Yeah.
I think his performance has not warranted him being on the field. So I don't need to get him back in, but they may try just about anything after what happened last night.
I mentioned the Shavers thing yesterday, right? The room on Bet Sweats and all that with his over-under, 22.5 yards. Huh. Why would he be able to go for 90 and then his line the next week is 22.5? And then on Joe and Sam's show, they pointed out he was like one of the most popular over was one of the most popular bets of the night, and he did not get a target.
Right.
Ryan is next. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So I have a lot of thoughts about the game, but the main thing I've been thinking the last couple of weeks watching the game is just how much worse would things be going if James Cook was holding out? Like, what would their offense even look like at that point?
Wow. It might be better, right? Is that what you're driving at or the opposite? I'm not sure I know.
I don't know either. Like, would they be trying to run with even worse running backs, or would it force them to actually throw the ball like they did against Tampa Bay?
Well, I mean, it's interesting, but it's also maybe pointless because they built it around him. They needed him. They decided that. They paid him accordingly.
He is the only explosive skill player on the team. That's it. I don't think he's like a top five running back in the league. He's in rushing yards. He is.
Over 1,000.
In touchdowns. He's having a great year on top of a great year he had last year. Wherever he ranks, wherever you want, you think he's better than Jonathan Taylor because you love the Bills or something. Not the caller, just anybody out there listening to me right now. I don't need to undervalue him. He is the only explosive athlete they have on that side of the ball. That's it. How in the world are you supposed to be a contending level, Super Bowl winning caliber team and have that be the case? That seems incredible to me. And I know I'm just making the point that everybody's been making for months, weeks of this season, years on end. It's incredible. But where's the lie? He is the only explosive skill position player they have. That is absurd that you've not found your way to someone. It's why I wanted Xavier Worthy so bad. And it's not like it's going great for him in Kansas City right now either. But speed, something to scare someone. I mean, McDermott was all excited about Mecole Hardman. They needed speed so bad on this team. Just, this is so bad to be where they are and have that be objectively true. Like, I'm not trying to slant this. You just tell me where the other guy is. That's scary in any way. I mean, everybody is telling you. They're looking at these games, and they're watching, if they're watching the whole field live or if they're watching it on all 22, defenses just do not have anything to fear or respect there. They just don't. It's like you're playing with one arm tied behind your back. To not have explosive athletes at your disposal, it's incredible. It really is.
Well, Palmer can be mentioned in this and has been many times because he was Bean's get. He's had more than 40 catches in a season once in 5 years. This year he's at 18. I know he had an injury. That's part of football. That isn't, like, amazing that somebody gets hurt. He was 18. He had two last night. What was that supposed to be? Maybe we'll get to January. This is the
last
line on every take.
Right,
we maybe we get
minds.
To January and he makes the play and we're all right. Fine.
See?
This was the year.
Yeah.
But he has 18 catches. He was the get. He was the guy that Bean bristled about, that he thought he was being ignored. That was the move that was being ignored. Last year, you guys could have said this. I get it. Diggs left.
But
not
I did
now.
This, right?
I did this. Joshua Palmer, 18 catches, no touchdowns.
Yeah, the weird thing is that we knew he was on the team. Like, we followed.
We knew he was on the team when we said those things.
And we knew who he was.
And we didn't care.
And we knew what to expect.
Oh my
His career told you what to expect. Right, it was just gonna what? It's like he was playing with disadvantaged quarterbacks. He was playing with Justin Herbert. Yeah, this isn't like he was, you know, Jerry Jeudy stuck on some island with your name here throwing him passes in Cleveland. I don't know.
Tucker is next. Hello.
Hey guys, happy early Thanksgiving from San Antonio. How you doing?
Love San Antonio.
Thank you.
I wish I could get back there.
Happy
I've been there once.
To you too.
And I loved it.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's a nice city. Weather's nice down here right now. In the born and raised Buffalo kids, everybody, family, you know, we're in and trying to figure out and analyze, you know, what went wrong. Not necessarily yesterday, but the insanity of kind of repeating this story. It seems like every year with this team, specifically, you know, the accountability of the head coach when it comes to offense, and I feel like he gets almost a pass and offense because of his position and how he has gone through four different offensive coordinators. At what point do we hold the head coach accountable for offensive mistakes? And where could you guys point to maybe criteria for, hey, it's been a good run, Sean, but we need to try something else? Thanks, and have a great holiday, and thank you guys for what you do.
Thank you. My answer on that is the same when it comes to I'm not going to try to dissect what the vagaries of hold guys accountable. When do you want him fired? When should he be fired? That's what you mean, right? When should he be fired? My thought on this through the offseason was I can't have another season end with this defense being unable to get stops, whether that's against Patrick Mahomes or anybody. I can't have that again. And that's what happened last year against the mediocre Chiefs offense that wasn't getting there against anybody. They got there against us. I scored 29 points and I still lost. For me, I decided, because people are always asking this question, let me just stand on this space, that if that happens again, I think I'll be done. Otherwise, I don't know. Like, I don't think he needs to have so much accountability, quote unquote, for their offense. He doesn't call their plays. He doesn't run their offense. He's the head coach. He is now running their defense, which, you know, pretty much he was. I don't think that that's a major issue for me. I mean, most of these head coaches are one side or the other. He's in charge of the bigger issues beyond play calling and schemes and that besides. And I think for the most part, that's gone pretty well under McDermott. But I just do not want to have this team lose because they're just, they can't get stops. And I think we could be headed there. We're talking about all the hits Allen took last night. Just like in Atlanta, right? Like the defense sort of stabilized in this game. Bishop made a couple of huge plays to save maybe touchdowns when other guys were nowhere to be found. But I still thought I was watching a Houston team that could do whatever it wanted on offense. The quarterback missed a lot. The running backs are not that good. So it didn't amount to much, but against a top team, it probably is a bigger problem.
Yeah, it was definitely the case in the first half. I'm way more, and I mean, look, they're banged up over there, and I don't want to roll out a bunch of stuff that might end up being portrayed or actually be excuses. I am way more worried about this offense, and I always have been. I'm harder on the offense in the playoff losses than you are, and maybe a lot of fans are. I don't know. And right now, the crisis on this team is that offense, because they gave up a field goal last night after halftime and had 4 3-and-outs in a row in the second half of this game. And yes, they were playing an elite defense. I'm supposed to have an elite offense. I'm back to the point about what have I got besides Allen and Cook. I don't have much. And that, to me, I think for me right now, I'm more upset with Bean than I am McDermott. Because I think the failure to draft and develop receivers on this team and surround Allen with talent that can help you win a game like last night that is so tough, so hard, everything's hard. But if you got a guy that can help bail you out, That can make all the difference. It can make all the difference in Kansas City last year. It can make all the difference innumerable times. And they have not done it. And I have sensed all through this year, subtly McDermott wanting to sort of distance himself from the run and stop the run. And like, we all know you love to run. Hey, I never said that. What I want to be is, I want to have a multifaceted attack. I want to be able to do both things well. I feel like there's a fork in the road coming between them. Somebody called and tried to get this going earlier with like at least the caller perceived odd interaction in the locker room between Bean and McDermott. I'm just listening to McDermott talk, and I feel like there's a reckoning coming. Like I think if this thing this year, if the offense does not find their way consistently enough, I feel like Bean could be the one that's in real trouble here.
Still time.
And that's not just to excuse every mistake McDermott's ever made or anything. Like the whole operation, I think, should be and is under scrutiny in a way that I don't know. I feel like we're in a different place today than we've been in a while. Maybe ever.
Here's Robert next. Hi, Robert.
Hey guys, how you doing tonight?
Okay.
Well, I appreciate the time. Actually, I was calling on a different topic, but Bulldog, you brought up a very good point. Before I even get to McDermott, I got to lay this at Dean's feet. If you take a look at the last few draft picks that have kind of flamed out, McDermott only can deal with the players that he has. And, it's so frustrating. I feel like we're almost at a rebuilding stage at this point. And as much as I would like to see a new coaching staff, not coaching staff, but new group at the top, I'm afraid to do it because how long is that going to take? You know, you got Allen's going to turn 30. I feel like we're just completely wasting this guy. And then you look at the other top quarterbacks in this league. I mean, they all have like weapons. It's like we don't have anybody. It's like how are we in this situation when the man's 29 years old and we've had such success at this point? It's just so frustrating. And then you take a look at the offensive coordinator. It's like. He'll sit there, he'll make some really good calls, and then it's like, at times, it's like he flames out. It's like, what is he doing? I just don't understand. I'm not an expert by any stretch. I don't purport to be one, but I think you just have to look at the results, and at some point, somebody's got to be held responsible. And I would put it on Bean's feet before I get to McDermott. But anyway, that's my two cents for whatever it's worth. But appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I mean, I just don't think it's really the time for it, but... It's one thing that fans are talking a lot about today. Like, what if this season ends badly, whatever that means? I think it could even mean losing in the second round. Like, that's not progress. Even the AFC Championship, losing there would not be progress, literally. So fans are talking about it, and therefore I don't want to just blow it off. I just, what do you think the expectations are internally? Like, we're all talking today. We're all hot, right? We're overheated from all this and stressed out. And we're all talking about it like it's way worse than it actually is. Like the season, the whole era, wasting Allen. I mean, they've won a playoff game every year for 5 years running. That's not something that every team just rolls out and does. So wasting, like we're going to extremes today. But what is the standard inside? Do they need to get to the Super Bowl or else? I tend to usually think about it like the standard is lower than that. And that's not to say that guys don't want it and might work as hard and be as capable as every other guys in the league, you know, any other front office. But I still, maybe it's insulting. Maybe this is sort of in a backwards way kind of insulting toward Terry Pegula or the Bills. Just think that, I bet he's thrilled, you know? That's just kind of how I see him, and I don't know if I'm right at all. Not that they're thrilled to lose to Houston, but just the overall performance of the Bills has been extremely positive in the McDermott years and Bean years. But maybe it's true that if they don't get to the Super Bowl, it's over. I don't know. I just tend to think that it won't be. Well, it's something we can sit with.
Yeah, we got a while.
We already are. Sam Panayotovich coming up next. Bet Sweats. The Sabres host Chicago tonight. Pregame at 6. It is Football Friday. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Football Friday continues. The Bills hurting after a physical, brutal loss to Houston last night in Houston, 23-19. Under 43, somehow. We turn our attention to the Week 12 slate. Sam Panayotovich joining us now. Soon to be heading off on a Thanksgiving break, but there's yard work to do first, Sam. I know you're aware. That's tomorrow.
I will be out there with the brand new blower. It's a blower mulcher hybrid with a little leaf bag. Look, I'm not as old as you guys, so I don't know the luxuries of having my own triple leaf blower mulcher bag thingy. I was as excited as I've been to come home for anything in my life.
I don't want to ruin this for you, but the very first leaf blower I had that attachment. I mean, I don't know how big your yard is. Dude, it's a frustrating task. Let me just put it to try to suck the leaves up and mulch them using that machine. You're better off getting on your hands and knees and chewing the leaves. I swear to God. It is a very arduous process.
Sam.
So I don't know. Like that part of it, I left for dead long ago.
Ooh. Okay. So I was on the 18th hole to begin with. Hold on. Let me know if you can hear this. I just cracked one open here on the 18th hole. This is the end of my day. Usually we do a little bit earlier. This is the last thing I have to do today. So what year was that, though, that you had to chew the leaves up?
Oh, my God. Early 2000s.
Okay, so it's been 20 years. Yeah. I feel like technology is a little bit better.
Maybe, but I don't know. You can let me know on the weekend. I might be wrong. But
yeah, you'd think there'd be advances in leaf blowing since then. You'd like to think that. There are in most things.
It's pretty straightforward technology. You're blowing and you're sucking.
Well, listen, on that note, the Bills lose in Houston. Sam, you're a famed Bills backer this year. This is your Super Bowl team. How worried are you? Like, it's not over or anything, but there are bad signs.
It's not over, but every time I watch a Bills game, I subscribe to the underdog fantasy notifications to my phone, Underdog NFL, and anybody who does fantasy or gambles should be a part of that. Every time I watch a Bills game, I get notifications about three players getting hurt. Am I making that up or what? Because last night I saw, I'm pulling up the list, I took a screenshot for this very moment. I saw Dawkins get taken in the medical tent, Shakir was in concussion protocol, Bernard was out. Like every time I watch a Bills game, at least three important guys get hurt, and that's not normal the last time I checked.
And last night it's even more.
Yeah, there were the Hairston left, Brown. Spencer Brown, Allen. I mean, I don't know if Allen went to the medical tent ever, but I mean, he got smashed up pretty good early in the game. Never missed a play, but still. It was a rough night in that way for sure.
Is that the thing then, though? Like, I mean, injuries can undo any team season, I suppose. Quarterback is not hurt, although he's taking a beating. So it's always in the context of the rest of the conference. I mean, like you've said many times, What team is impervious to this kind of scrutiny? You know, what team looks like they're above the rest? I don't know if anybody does in either conference.
I would say it this way. If you're looking for a shred of optimism, and I'm sure people listening, driving around right now are, I would much rather be 7-4 than 5-5 where Kansas City's at. That's for sure. Because you're a playoff team. You're going to make the playoffs. I mean, I'd be stunned if Buffalo didn't make the playoffs. And it really just feels like with the way that this AFC is staggered right now, Denver, New England, Indy, 1-2-3, I don't trust any of those teams in the playoffs because I just haven't seen it with these quarterbacks. I've never seen Bo Nix, Daniel Jones, and now you got Drake May in year two. I've never seen playoff runs there. So I feel like the AFC is so wide open, you just need to get in, and Buffalo has better chances to get in than Kansas City right now. I also, let's put it this way. In my newsletter this week, I talked to John Murray, one of my best friends. He does the book at the Westgate in Vegas. And I said, give me the top 10 teams per your office, per your team. And here's the list in order. I'll go quick, 1 through 10. Rams, Eagles, Bills. Bills still third in the eyes of a Vegas sports book. So Rams, Eagles, Bills, Chiefs, Lions, Ravens, 4, 5, 6. Seahawks, Colts, Packers, Pats. They still respect your team so much, they have to be healthy enough to win a playoff game. And maybe both things are true. Maybe they're very talented. Maybe they play to a high power rating, but maybe they're just not healthy enough to win the whole thing. I don't know. But at the same time, like, who's the best team in the league? I don't have an answer right now. I have none.
You didn't say Denver, right? They're not on that list?
Denver is not in their top 10, which I countered with too. And he said, oh, no, they're going to get blown out in the playoffs is what he said.
So
they did last year.
They did. Here. That's right. I hope you appreciate this or enjoy it. I haven't told Bulldog this, I think. Today's payday around here, and I decided to put some units on the Indianapolis Colts disaster scenario, which is basically they lose out. Their schedule, Houston twice, Jacksonville twice, good to great defenses. This is not in order. Kansas City at Seattle. And there's one more that's hard. And, like, I don't know. Daniel Jones is Daniel Jones, and he has a calf thing. And they're starting this thing in Arrowhead. I just threw money at Houston, futures, Jacksonville, both to win the division, Indy to miss. Right. Indy to miss is like 750.
For you to back Jacksonville, you must really hate the Colts. Or the odds are really favorable. That's what it is.
I don't hate the Colts, but I don't really like the Colts. And, you know, this could all go up in smoke Sunday, Sam. Like if they go to Arrowhead and win, that's all dead. Probably.
That's a wrap, yeah.
That's a wrap.
So I hadn't thought about this, but I pulled up the Colts prop shop page, which I use every day. You go to ftnbets.com. It's a free site, and you can type in a team or a player, and it gives you all the options to bet. I use it every day on our show. The thing that stands out to me is their win total, 11.5, and I can go under at plus money.
Right.
That's pretty nice. I mean, 3-3, they're going to – well, no, damn it. They play 17 now. Damn it. 3-4. I'm sorry. I'm never going to.
I know.
12-4 used to be a great season. Now it's like, 13-4. It sounds so weird to say it out loud.
You're old enough to respect that.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
That, at least.
Oh, man. There was a guy I worked with at Nesson when they changed the schedule. And he said, oh, the Pats are going to go 4-12. And I was like, they play 17. And he looks at me and goes, 4-12, like I said. You know, he wasn't going to admit that there was a 17th game.
Like
now,
a man. Funny. Like right. a man, 4-12.
Yeah. When I was a young man, they played 16 games. So with that thought process, under 11.5, they got to go 3-4, which is very possible. I get plus 150 under 11.5, too. Yep. Missed the playoffs, 9-1. I don't know that I'm there, but, man, you would be rewarded handsomely if it came true.
I got that. There's competition, you know. What do you make of the Texans after that game? Like, they'll get Stroud back, which maybe, in theory, that should be good. Defense, like, they were a terror. I don't know. They're home, and the Bills are not perfectly in form, but I liked Houston. What do you we both had Houston in the under, by the way, last night. And you did, too. All three of us did. So that's good. What do you like coming up here? Let's start with tomorrow. Sam, you're famous for your top college plays.
Or even tonight. There's college football tonight.
I didn't do anything tonight, and I did. I'll put my hand up. I took one on the chin with Texas. I felt good about it. It was 14-10, and then Georgia scored a touchdown, delivered an onside kick, and then scored another touchdown. And I'm like, all right, that one's over. You just turn it off. You kind of know at the time. I think Oregon's going to roll USC tomorrow. This number is 10 at a couple places, but guys, I think we're going to look up tomorrow, and this will be 11 at a couple books. Sharp guys have been laying it basically all week. This number was 8 last Sunday when they opened them up at DraftKings FanDuel, and then by the time Vegas opened, they were 9, and now we're 10.5. USC can't stop the run. So if Oregon can use its very physical offensive line and create gaps and holes, Oregon's going to run for 250 yards. And as long as they protect the ball, odds are good they're going to win and win handsomely. And, you know, USC's got a decent offense, but Oregon's got those physical corners that can kind of press Lemon and the other stud receiver they got. I like Oregon. I think they're going to win. I make the game about 38-20. So that's, I mean, laying 10.5, I think, is a decent bet. And the total's 59, so I'm right on the number total-wise. But I'm 38-20 Oregon tomorrow.
Interesting. Sunday?
Anything? Yeah, Sunday.
I know the Bears are going to lose. You know it. Mike knows it. Zach Jones, producing the show, knows it. Aaron Rodgers is going to play. Miss me with the, oh, he's questionable. I covered that guy. There's no place he'd rather go and play and win than Chicago. He's 24-5 all time against the Bears. And you notice that fractured wrist, it doesn't need surgery. So if he can be out there, if they could shoot him up with whatever, and we know Aaron Rodgers likes to do things in the offseason, like he's open to some things. he's gonna be out there, man. He's gonna be in the ayahuasca tent on Saturday. If you think he's not playing, I got oceanfront property in Indianapolis to sell you.
All right, noted.
Some experimental pain killing methods is what you're predicting for Aaron Rodgers. All right,
Sam, get it done tomorrow. You'll feel great, and then have a great time in Chicago.
All right, guys. Have a good Thanksgiving. I don't know when I'll talk to you next, but enjoy the families, enjoy the friends, and enjoy the booze.
Good luck with the leaf blower.
Thank you.
/ mulcher.
Sam Paniadovich, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Bet Sweats, which is running for about another month on the BetMGM network, weekday mornings 9 to noon. And you can hear Sam on Sunday mornings, too. I think he's working this Sunday. But the show, both those guys, Joe and Sam, are off all week next week. Okay, timeout. We'll finish things up for now on the Bills' loss. Then it'll be Sabres pregame.
Picks.
We'll actually do picks next.
Picks.
We got to rush through picks.
We got to run through picks.
Okay, let me make some picks and then I'll be ready. Right? That's how it works. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Football Friday on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.